Today on Path of Grace.
Oh, but James, it's more than my hands, more than my feet, more than my mind. It's the core of who I am. At the very core of my being, my heart. Oh, there's things there. I have not loved people as I should. I've taken advantage. I sometimes hate myself for who I am at the core of my being. I've got to fix myself. I need to pay something. I got to make myself acceptable. At the core of who I am ungodly. Listen, my friend. The cross is sending a message. God loves you as you are. He isn't waiting for you to become what you think you are supposed to be before he starts to love you. He loves you now. Look at the cross. And you see a spear driven through Christ's side and into his heart and blood flowing out. God making a point, demonstrating something beautiful to you and me at the core of who you are, at the core of who I am, the heart. Even those things that are there that we might at times think would keep us from God or prevent God from wanting anything to do with us. Look at that blood flowing from Christ's heart. The message is that there is nothing you could do or pay for those things because it's already been paid. God loves you now as you are. He always has. In fact, Scripture tells us something incredible. It tells us that right now, he is not even holding your sins against you, not holding my sins against me. Please keep listening. Today, what I'm going to talk about might be considered baby stuff by some people, but I believe I'm supposed to share these simple, amazing, and glorious truths yet again because of a song I heard. And I want to share some of the lyrics from that song because these lyrics represent what I think is the state of most people, including very religious people. Listen carefully. Is there any forgiveness for the things I've done? Is there pardon for sinners? Lord, I know I'm one before you. Those are good questions. Questions that really plague the minds of so many people, eating them up, consuming them. There's a longing in their heart to know if things could ever be all right between them and God. As a person comes to the realization, the reality of their humanity, and they see some of their own issues and struggles, and maybe even some glaring faults and flaws within them, and maybe other people have made them think that God wouldn't want anything to do with them, they cry out in their heart, wanting to have peace with God and to have peace with self. Can you relate? Have you been there wondering, is there any forgiveness? Is there pardon for sinners like me? Have you tried to somehow pay for your own humanity? Have you tried to punish yourself because of your warts and your flaws and your blemishes? I have. I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt. I've seen documentaries on people groups who gather together for special occasions to try and appease God. And because of the view they have of God, their efforts to try to merit acceptance from God are based upon beating themselves with whips and cutting themselves with knives. They spill their own blood, hoping that somehow this will cause their Creator to somehow look upon them with favor. I've known people who have done similar things, maybe not as part of a religious ritual, but they've cut themselves. They've inflicted pain on themselves, hoping that inflicting physical pain upon self, shedding their own blood, will somehow cause God to be okay with them. Others might punish themselves in different ways through intentionally making decisions that bring painful, agonizing results into their lives. They want to bring pain into their life because they're motivated by guilt and shame with the belief that bringing more and more pain upon themselves, that will somehow atone for their condition as a human being and get God to accept them. Some in a religious setting might believe that through some sort of other sacrifice, they can merit forgiveness and good standing with God, hoping that if I do this and I do that, if I deprive myself of this, then hopefully God will forgive me and God may even give me a pardon. Walking through life singing the song I just quoted from, is there any forgiveness for the things I've done? The answer is yes. And much more than that. Is there pardon for sinners? Yes. And much more. The Apostle Paul, who is commissioned by Christ with the gospel for the Gentiles, as he shares with us in his letters the good news of grace, He shares news that is really way better than good. And it is good, great, wonderful, fantastic news for me and you and everyone around us. Now, in no particular order, let me throw out some things that Paul teaches us about Christ, why he came to earth, what he accomplished, and what it means for you and me. We could spend a lifetime on this topic. We probably are, because it is so beautiful and so simple, yet incredibly profound and deep, and so contrary to the natural bent or inclination of humanity to try to pay for our own fallenness and try to appease God. God's not looking for us to try and appease him. That's what we're going to see. The Apostle Paul, who is inspired by the Spirit of God, labeled himself as the chief of all sinners, the greatest of all sinners, the foremost of all sinners, and he tells us this: Christ came into the world to save sinners. Let that sink in. The chief of all sinners, the greatest of all sinners, the worst of all sinners, the one individual who is further gone than anyone else, who the world would look at and say, that guy is the least likely candidate who has ever walked the planet to ever be made right with God, to ever be reconciled to God. That guy is the poster child, the example, the demonstration of the depths and the greatness of the love of God for humanity and the lengths he would go to prove it to all of us, including that very one, Paul, the chief of all sinners. Let these things sink in. If you have ever felt you are too far gone or you're a lost cause, take heart. You're not. Paul was worse than you and even worse than me. He is the poster child of God's grace, the poster child of God's love and acceptance, forgiveness, pardon, and something even greater than that. The Apostle Paul tells us that Christ went to the cross to prove the love of God, to demonstrate the love of God for you and me. The world takes people to extreme lengths of personal pain infliction, again, hoping to appease God. That's not what God wants. So he sent his only son not to appease the anger of God himself. Jesus didn't come to save us from the Father. That's not it at all. The Father sent the Son to prove his love. He came to prove the love of the Father. He came to do something that is beyond what any person could ever inflict upon themselves or what we could inflict on one another. He was bruised, he was beaten, he was spit upon, he was mocked, and he was nailed to a cross. A hideous, horrific, ugly sight. Blood poured from his hands, his feet, his head, and from his heart. Again, not to appease God. Christ wasn't saving us from God the Father, but to demonstrate something to us, to prove something. Have you ever done things with your hands that you're ashamed of? Look at the cross, and what you see is blood pouring from the nail-pierced hands of Christ. That blood was shed for the sins of your hands and my hands. For the human religious mindset that's saying, I've got to pay for what I've done with my hands, Christ is saying, there is nothing for you to pay. I have paid for the sins of your hands with the blood which flowed from my hands. Have you ever gone places that you're ashamed of? Have you ever wished you could go back in time and not go to those places? Every human being has gone places. Their feet have taken them places in life that they're ashamed of. And with those same exact feet, our natural inclination is to run from God, thinking Father won't accept us and couldn't love us because of where our feet have taken us. Look at the cross. And you see blood pouring from the nail-pierced feet of Christ. My friend, realize that blood was shed for the sins committed with our feet. There is nothing for us to pay, no blood needing to be shed. Oh, but James, my problems go way beyond my hands and feet. My mind is a problem. The things I have thought about people, oh my goodness, my mind is a mess. Well, my friend, welcome to humanity. We all have things that enter our minds that are not pretty. That's just the way it is. And God knows that. And he knows we were born that way. And he wants us to know that he loves us and welcomes us. And I encourage you, again, look at the cross. And when you do, you see a crown of thorns on the head of Christ, blood pouring down. Let that blood speak something to you. Let it be a sign to you that there is nothing for you to pay, even for those things that you are ashamed of that have taken place in your mind. Oh, but James, it's more than my hands, more than my feet, more than my mind. It's the core of who I am. At the very core of my being, my heart. Oh, there's things there. I have not loved people as I should. I've taken advantage. I sometimes hate myself for who I am at the core of my being. I've got to fix myself. I need to pay something. I got to make myself acceptable. At the core of who I am ungodly. Listen, my friend. The cross is sending a message. God loves you as you are. He isn't waiting for you to become what you think you are supposed to be before he starts to love you. He loves you now. Look at the cross. And you see a spear driven through Christ's side and into his heart and blood flowing out. God making a point, demonstrating something beautiful to you and me at the core of who you are, at the core of who I am, the heart. Even those things that are there that we might at times think would keep us from God or prevent God from wanting anything to do with us. Look at that blood flowing from Christ's heart. The message is that there is nothing you could do or pay for those things because it's already been paid. God loves you now as you are. He always has. In fact, Scripture tells us something incredible. It tells us that right now, he is not even holding your sins against you. He's not holding my sins against me. Please keep listening. Again, Christ went to the cross to prove, to demonstrate God's love for you, to pay for our sin in full. There is nothing for you or me to pay. Our lives are not now supposed to be focused on, oh my goodness, I got to fix myself. I got to overcome this. I got to change out. No. His proclamation on the cross, the words of Christ were, it is finished. The word in the original language translated as it is finished in most English translations literally means paid in full. It's been paid in full. There is nothing left to pay. There is no need to run from God, and there is no need to run out and beat yourself up to try to appease an angry God, because God doesn't need appeasing. He is not angry with you. I plead with you to believe it. Through Christ, there is more than forgiveness. There is more than a pardon. In Paul's letters, he spoke of something called justification, being justified. What's that mean? It's a weird word. Well, it means that even though you and I were born into something called death and sin, look at the world, there's evidence all around. The fact that human beings die is proof of this. The fact that we've all done things we are ashamed of or embarrassed about is proof. We haven't loved one another perfectly. That's just the way it is. We all struggle with that. And even though other people might look at us and point out all of those faults and flaws and try and accuse us, and they want to find all sorts of things that just aren't right, at least not in their eyes, in the eyes of God, according to the Apostle Paul, the apostle sent to the Gentiles, we are seen as right, perfectly righteous, justified. So what's that word mean? Justified. Have you ever used the justify command in, say, your favorite word processing program? Use that justify command. What's it do? It straightens out all the text in the document so that all the rows are even and everything is perfectly lined up. Those things that are crooked and out of sorts and aren't so appealing to the eyes, you use a justify command and suddenly, boom, it's all straightened out and perfect. That's justification. And listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us. He tells us that through Christ, God justifies the ungodly. Check that one out for yourself in Romans chapter 4, verse 5. He justifies the ungodly. In that passage, Paul talks about how God justifies people who aren't working to try to earn right standing with God. He doesn't justify people who have cleaned up their act. He doesn't justify people who have straightened themselves out. If any of us could straighten ourselves out, we wouldn't need anyone else to justify us. He tells us that God justifies the ungodly, which, by the way, again makes sense, because if a person wasn't a mess, they wouldn't need to be justified. Justification, it's being seen as right, declared perfect and innocent. That's way beyond forgiveness. It's way beyond a pardon. Forgiveness leaves the issues on the table. It leaves the faults on the record. They can be brought up again. A pardon, like a presidential pardon, that person is not held accountable for what they have done, but it's still there. It's on the record. In justification, there is no record. In the economy of God, all is justified. All is seen as right. My friend, Christ came to save sinners. If you have seen yourself as a sinner, realize Christ came to save you. And he was a success. He died for the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. Listen to what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about what God did through Christ. This is the way it reads from the Concordant Literal Translation. God was in Christ, conciliating the world to himself. If you don't know what that word means, look it up or use a search command on my website. Type in the word conciliate. See if you can find it. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors as of God, entreating through us. We are beseeching for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. Did you hear that? God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. God is not reckoning the offenses of the world to us. That's what Paul is telling. Listen to it again. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them, and placing in us the word of conciliation. For Christ, then, are we ambassadors, as of God, entreating through us. We are beseeching for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. He's saying, stop running. Stop beating yourselves up. Stop trying to make yourself worthy and simply be conciliated to God. And when we do that, reconciliation has taken place. Now, what Jesus did for you and me personally applies, so much so, listen to what Paul said about it. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Wow. Have you ever felt like you deserve to die? I know a lot of people who have. Well, in his demonstration of love for you, God counts the death of Christ as your death. And so like Paul, you and I can both say, I have been crucified with Christ. Remember that. It's already been done. There's nothing left for you to pay. You don't need to beat yourself. Paul then went on and talked about living life by faith in what Christ has accomplished for us, not by faith in what we try to do for ourselves or what we try to offer to God. No, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and died for us. That's what Paul teaches. Paul also talked about how since Christ died for all, then in the economy of God, all died. We have all been crucified with Christ. He also talks about, as in Adam, all of humanity is in the process of dying. We are born into death, right? There's a 100% death rate. He says, as in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive, each in his own order. Paul tells us that he who knew no sin, that's Christ, became sin for us. Why? That we would become the righteousness of God in him. How's that for being more than forgiveness and more than pardon? Justification takes it to a whole new level. Christ became our sin. Our sin was nailed to the cross, the sin of all humanity. And in exchange, we become the righteousness of God in him. Let me ask you, is there anything you can add to that? Is there anything more right than the righteousness of God? Let me tell you, my friend, I've become the righteousness of God in Christ. I might not look that way to anyone staring at me. I might not look that way to myself when I stare into a mirror, but it's the reality. I am a new creation in Christ, Paul tells us. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul tells us that Christ has presented us to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. Think about that. Again, you might not see yourself as holy when you look in the mirror, but in Christ, Father sees you as perfectly holy. He sees you as blameless. Other people might look at you and say, man, there's a lot to blame you for. You might look at yourself and say, man, there's a lot to blame me for and accuse me of. Well, on the side of God, Christ has presented you to the Father as blameless and above reproach. Some translations use the word unimpeachable or unaccusable. How can that be? This is amazing. This is crazy. It's almost hard to believe. It is hard to believe. A few minutes ago, I read to you, Paul said, God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them. My friend, I could go on and on with these sort of things, but I need to start wrapping up, but I'm not done yet. Remember those lyrics I started with today? Is there any forgiveness for the things I've done? Is there pardon for sinners? Lord, I know I'm one before you, before you, before you. My friend, it's so much more than forgiveness and pardon. It's reconciliation. It's justification. It's being presented to the Father as holy, blameless, and above reproach. It's having a new identity as a new creation called the body of Christ. It's about you now being a saint, not because of anything you have done, but because of what was done for you by the grace of God through Christ. Now, maybe you would protest. Oh, I've been told I need to repent. I need to repent. I need to repent. I've got to fix myself. I've got to turn myself around. Listen, did you hear any of what was shared with you today? If you need to, listen to this teaching again. Listen to other teachings on this site. Perhaps you are in need of repentance. That word literally means to have a change of mind for the better. Maybe the repentance, the change of mind you need to have, is that God truly does love you, and he has conciliated himself toward you. And through Christ, we have something more than forgiveness. I pray for you that you would come to know the love of the Father for you right now, right where you are, love that was proven on the cross. My name is James Flanders, and this isn't baby stuff. It's good news for humanity, news that people need to hear. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed.